8:12 now. Good morning. Well, Park City's love-hate relationship with Sundance begins Thursday when the town's population nearly quadruples, traffic snarls, but there's always lots of rooms on the ski slopes. In the studio to tell us what to plan for to get around town, especially this opening weekend, is Sundance Transit Manager Brian Cambria. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Leslie. And good morning, everyone.
So let's start with the basics. Paid parking starts Friday.
Oh, it's very. I think sooner than Friday, okay. Because the festival's first day is Thursday.
Okay.
And there's been many closures already. Parts of Main Street have closed now to kind of build out some of the activities on Lower Main.
Right. And can you tell us, give us details about the paid parking? It's just cash only? And
generally speaking, cash only. China Bridge goes to paid parking. I wish I could tell you the price. It's $20 or more for the first weekend. It drops down after the first weekend a little bit, but it is cash per entry. They've talked about taking credit cards, but I don't believe they're there yet for that. Also, a number of other lots around town over at the yard off of Kearns Boulevard at Homestake. There's a cash parking there, and we have a shuttle stop that we build for our bus system right there as well. One thing about paid parking, there is a parking lot that we have used for many years over on Prospector Avenue called Parking Lot G, and the owners of the lot are not going to make that available for paid parking, so it's not going to be available for festival parking this year. Kind of caught us a little bit by surprise, but that's okay. We don't make mistakes. We make adjustments.
Okay. Let's see. What about those with the China Bridge parking tags? We've got parking for them up on the top
there, and there are also a number of China Bridge parking passes that are available for sale. If someone wants to just be able to park anytime they go there, those are a little bit extra, and they are still available. I think you can get them up at Marsac or down at Public Works.
Okay. What about parking on Main Street? Is there any this?
Parking on Main Street is never a good idea during the film festival because, you know, if you drive up there with your car in the middle of the peak period, you might come down to the bottom 2 hours later with three or four accident reports in your glove box. The parking on Main Street will be discontinued. Let's see, Lower Main, 15th through the 31st. On the I had the date. It starts. Main Street is already closed to one side of the street parking, and I think by Thursday or Friday, the other side of the street parking will also go away. And that will be right through the 1st of February Lower Main is the 1st of February, I'm sorry. Because of the festival, of course, we found that it's just better not to have people trying to find places to park, and we have a lot of car service going up and down the road. So if folks are coming to Park City and they want to come to Main Street, their best bet is to find a parking place in one of the outlying areas or at China Bridge and then ride the free bus system. You know, we enhance the bus system. We double the capacity of the bus system during the film festival, and we add stops that are more important to festival venues and things like that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, though, but for people who come to pick up their mail at the Main Street Post Office, early morning's a good time to do it.
Totally. The first thing, because a lot of folks don't wake up that early during the film festival. Also, you know, there's going to be a Cine Transformer on the 5th Street there by the post office. And so that's going to close that street. And it's closed, I think, from the 17th through the 29th. And the Cine Transformer is a mobile trailer that will roll in and fold out like a Transformer truck in the movies, I guess, and in the cartoons. And it will be an 80-seat theater that will be there. But there will be some parking available, a few spaces in front and a few spaces in back, 15-minute parking available for locals to come in, quickly go to their box, and then come on back out, making space available for the next local. And you're right, though, morning is the best time to do that.
Yeah. So we have no Uber sponsor this year. And last year they had used the Flagpole parking lot as kind of their place where they sat and waited for calls. Are we going to do something with taxis this year? Is there a taxi queue?
Taxis will be doing the same as usual, which is responding to calls, and of course they can be hailed during the festival on Main Street. And there are a lot of bulb outs or bump outs, places for them to stop and load, but no queue specifically like we had for Uber last year, and nothing like that for them as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all develops, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what kind of challenges are you dealing with? I mean, with all of the snow that's fallen, I mean, I see some of the, you know, like Woodside, it's like a one-way street.
That's always an issue. You know, it's wonderful when it snows here. We love it, and we need it, and we always welcome it. But at the same time, of course, it just increases the pace of what we have to do. working very closely with the city. They're going to be cleaning up snow. They have been hauling snow every night. In one place or another, they're out there constantly hauling snow. And we're doing everything we can to get it cleaned up in advance of the next wave of moisture that will be coming in this weekend.
Okay, let's talk buses. You said you more than double than what we've currently got out there, huh?
That's right. Park City Transit, which is a great transit system, is as good as any you'll find in the West. They've got a number of buses and routes, but we add five more routes, and we add about 13, 14 more buses a day into the system, and we extend the hours of service, even that which Park City Transit runs. So, in effect, twice as much capacity to carry people. And we triple the ridership. So, you know, at Christmas time, they might peak at 10,000 people a day boarding their buses. We'll average 30,000 or more a day during the film festival.
Wow. So how does it work? We've got two loops, the Eccles Loop, which goes to, like, the Eccles, Prospector, and the Mark?
We have added a number of routes, an Eccles Loop, which does serve the Prospector and Headquarters area and the Eccles. It also comes around to the front of the Yarrow Hotel. It also goes into the back to the Mark, and it's trying to provide access for people who want to go between those theaters and venues. We've also got what we call the Headquarters Main Street Loop. It's our route number 25, and it's yellow on our maps, and it's very similar to the city's number 5 yellow, and there's no coincidence there. And it serves from Main Street directly into Eccles and from Eccles back up to Main Street with a loop through Prospector on the way. It avoids the Arrow, it avoids the Park City ski area as well.
Okay. And then the theater loop is the one that takes you
It kind of goes everywhere. And Park City Transit runs that with some of their buses. And it goes to all the in-town theaters eventually, and it makes a loop. And there are some times when that's the best one to get on, sometimes when 25 is the best one to get on. The 21 Eccles Loop, red, is also sometimes the best. And how can someone possibly know that, right? Well, we have transportation liaisons, volunteers who are arriving today and tomorrow. Many of them have been with me for many, many years doing this, and they station themselves at the transit stops, at the bus stops, and they help people wayfind and choose the right bus. In addition, of course, the drivers are all very knowledgeable, plus Park City Transit has a wonderful app. It's called MyStop, and it's free, and it works on Android as well as iPhones. And if people would pick that up, and many of the locals, I'm sure, have already got it, it helps you to know when the next bus is coming. It can provide you alerts and text alerts and things like that when your bus is coming. You can literally see where the buses are on the map.
So you'll be able to see the Sundance buses as well, huh?
That's right. That's one of the things that we do is we add the mobile data terminals to all of these buses. And if you don't think we're going to be working frantically in the next 48 hours, well, you're making a mistake. We're going to be doing all this, putting it all together onto the buses, but already a lot of work has been done behind the scenes.
All right. And what about the Temple Theater? That is an odd, kind of the odd man out there.
It is, and that's a challenging one to run, but we also add a route to that. Our 26, purple, I think, is the color we put on it, 26. It makes a loop in town, goes by the Yard on Kearns Boulevard. It turns up Bonanza and back up by Rite Aid, and then it comes around to the front by the Yarrow and Fresh Market, and then it shoots out to the Temple. It stops also at the Canyons Transit Hub when it leaves the Temple, if anyone wants to make a connection to go farther out from there. And that's because there's just not enough parking. We can't welcome everyone to come and park there. It's never a good idea to try to drive your car around, because if you give up a great parking space, you may never find one again in Park City during the film festival. So we provide that service, and we enhance it during the peak periods of time. When the theater is letting out is when, you know, there's 300 people that want to know, how do I get to the theater? Another route that we run is a 28. And it's a brown route, like the 8 brown that the city runs. It's the Redstone Express. So you can get on it at the Old Town Transit Center. You can get on it at the Fresh Market. We call that the Yarrow Stop. And then it'll take you right on out to the Redstone area if you're going to that theater or the new park. And it's also going to include a stop at the new Kimball Junction Transit Center as well. And that's service about every 15 minutes.
Great. All right. Anything new this year?
Why, yes, there is. In fact, in response to some of the challenges with parking and always looking for a way to improve that and provide more options for people, I had the idea to start using that Richardson Flat parking lot that's built out there. It's been built for a few years, but it doesn't get a lot of use because a lot of the other infrastructure that might help it work is just not ready. So we thought we'd try an experiment. So for the first Well, for 4 days in the first weekend, Friday through Monday, the 20th through the 23rd, we're going to run a park and ride shuttle out to that lot every 10 minutes, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so if anyone wants, they can drive. It's just 3 miles out of town, past the Eccles Theater, past the high school, and park there. Every 10 minutes, there'll be a bus that will bring you back to the Eccles, to the high school, and from there, you can catch a bus anywhere in town. It'll go from 7 in the morning until 2:45 in the morning. So it will be great for Main Street Merchant employees. If they want to park there, they can ride in, and then after work, they can still get back out there. The last bus will leave the Old Town Transit Center at 2:30, and it will rendezvous with the last bus going out to there, to the Richardson Flat Lot at 2:40, 2:50, and they'll be able to get out to the lot there.
Okay. Again, they dropped off at the Eccles, and they can pick up lots of buses right there.
That's right. There's like about, I don't know, 40 buses an hour that come by the Eccles Theater during the film festival. So there's going to be something for you there.
Okay. You all ready?
I hope so.
Anything else people should know?
Well, the last thing, for anyone who's local, to go on the website, and the Park City has published this community guide to the film festival, and it's got some wonderful information, specifics about dates of closures and parking and all kinds of stuff, and it's easy to download, and you can put it in your pocket. I've got one here that I folded up last night. It's a great resource for people to choose, and I'm really glad that they did that.
Okay. Brian, hey, thanks.
Thank you.
8:38 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher, joined in the studio now by Tom Kelly with the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie. We have shades of Sundance sprouting up from the ground, don't we?
Yeah. Yep. Things are starting to get closed off, especially there in the lower Main Street area. So heads up there. Well, let's start. Let's see. The freestyle team was in Lake Placid. What happened there?
Yeah, we had a good event out in Lake Placid for the Putnam Investments Freestyle Cup. Same tour that's coming to Deer Valley in just a couple of weeks, February 2nd to 4th. Brad Wilson and Morgan Schild taking third in the Moguls competition at Whiteface on Friday. A great finish for both of those athletes, and really, really good to see Bradley Wilson, part of the brother Wilson, who live here in Park City, to get him back up on the podium. Big story of the weekend, though, came Saturday when Ashley Caldwell picked up a win in aerials, a spectacular finish on what is really her home hill. It's where she started in the sport years and years ago. Mac Bohannon finishing in second. So overall, really good weekend for them. The mogul skiers are heading on to Val-Saint-Côme, Quebec. Aerial skiers coming back here, actually going to Lake staying in Placid for U.S. Championships.
Okay, and then let's take a look at the Alpine team. I guess Europe is just getting pummeled.
It was pretty amazing last week with the snow, just absolutely getting hammered across the entire continent. First of all, in Vengen, where everybody was gathered for the Lauberhorn downhill, tons of snow, which ultimately resulted in the cancellation of Saturday's Lauberhorn downhill, which rarely happens, but unfortunately that one is off the books. And then over in Altenmarck Zalkensee, Lindsey Vonn had committed to her comeback, and she got out there Thursday, and downhill training is canceled. Friday, downhill training canceled. Saturday, race canceled. And they juggled the schedule a little bit and did get the downhill in on Sunday under clear blue skies. It was a great race. Jackie Wiles finishing third for the USA, career first podium for that young skier from state of Oregon. And Lindsey Vonn looking pretty good. 13th, not where she ultimately wants to be, but I think for a first race back, she was pretty happy with that. Men are heading on to Kitzbühel this week for the Hahnenkamm. The women are heading to Garmisch for a downhill and Super G. So the whole World Cup, particularly on the women's side, has taken a turn over to the speed side. Michaela Schifrin still with a 315-point lead over Lara Gut of Switzerland. There are not that many technical events left on the schedule. There's a GS coming up in Italy in about a week, and then there's really nothing until we come back to the States for Squaw Valley and the Aspen World Cup Finals. So that 315-point lead is going to probably get whittled down pretty quickly, given that Michaela is not competing on the speed side. So we're going to watch that. And she did lose a few points this weekend, but not nearly as much as she thought she might have. So fingers crossed for her. But the women do head to speed, and Michaela will next be on the hill in Kronplatz, Italy, a week from tomorrow.
All right. And then the free skiers were in France.
Had a great World Cup slopestyle event in Font-Romeu, France. First time the FIS World Cup Tour has been there. Big win for Park City's McCray Williams. He picked up the victory, his first actually in a World Cup competition. Alex Hall from Park City finishing fourth. Nick Gepper, the Olympic silver medalist, finishing Olympic bronze medalist finishing in fifth place. So a good event for them. They're now looking ahead to the X Games. The snowboarders are going to Lox for the Lox Open and also a pretty important World Cup. But the free skiers kind of looking ahead a couple of weeks until they head to Aspen for the X Games.
Okay, and then the cross-country team also competing?
This is always a little bit of an odd weekend. Right after the Tour de Ski, you have a lot of athletes who are taking time off. Jesse Diggins, for example, of the USA, Sophie Caldwell, Sadie Bjornsson and Jesse Diggins resting up for the weekend. They'll be back in action this week. But really good freestyle racing action, sprint action in Toblach, Italy, one of the Tour sites, actually. On Saturday, Simi Hamilton on the podium, finishing second. Just really gutsy performance all day long, just keeping himself in the hunt to the finals. Actually took the lead on the final downhill and had the lead coming into the finish line. And a Norwegian who's actually never won before kind of snuck in and just got literally a toe ahead of him at the finish line, but still a good finish for Simi, finishing second. We also had five athletes across men and women in the top 13. That's the deepest performance in history for the U.S. team, so kudos to those athletes. And then coming back on Sunday in the team sprint, Keegan Randall going out with Sophie Caldwell, and they were a fair bit off the pace. Keegan actually skiing very, very good right now in her comeback from motherhood. But the team of Andy Newell and Simi Hamilton finishing sixth in the team sprint, one of the best U.S. finishes ever.
Great. And then a little bit closer to home, we've got the snowboarders coming to Solitude. Huh?
Big event coming up this week at Solitude, and we're very excited to be over there. New and different, exciting venue, a venue that really showcases the Wasatch Mountains so, so well. International Ski Federation, when we showed them the Solitude venue last summer, we're just blown away by the opportunity that we have here. So we have a couple things going on at Solitude this coming weekend at the Toyota U.S. Grand Prix. We will have a ski cross event on Friday with the top American ski cross athletes, and then a World Cup snowboard cross and a team snowboard cross on Saturday and Sunday. U.S. with a pretty hot team right now. Hagen Carney picking up a win in the opener a month ago. We have Faye Gallini from Salt Lake City, one of the top athletes. Lindsay Jacobellis, the queen of snowboard cross on the women's side. And also Seth Westcott looking to make his comeback. He's a two-time Olympic gold medalist in snowboard cross. And the bronze medalist from Sochi, Alex Diebold, who lives and trains right here in Park City. They'll all be out there. So folks, if you're thinking of going over to Solitude this weekend, come on by and watch the events at the Toyota U.S. Grand Prix on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. Great. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. See you next week, Leslie.
It's Tom Kelly with the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. Joining me now in the studio from the Snyderville Basin Recreation District, Brian Hatton, District Director. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk first with Sundance looming. That means things change for you because you guys host the big party at the end,
yeah,
right?
We have the closing party at our awards and closing party. So that last weekend, so it starts affecting our patrons on the 26th. We any field activities is done from there until Sunday. So we start setting down the flooring and letting Sundance come in and kind of redo our field area. I mean, they make it look amazing for their event, and definitely is an impact on our patrons that way. But the rest of the facility is open until 1 o'clock on Saturday. So there is some time where people can still come and get their workouts in. They can use the track, but after that, after 1 o'clock on Saturday, the facility is shut down, and then we will reopen the facility at 7 o'clock on Sunday. And then with that, the field's still closed until 7 o'clock that evening on Sunday, but the patrons can come in and use the workout rooms, the classrooms. All the classes are going except for the ones that would have been on the fields. So we try to limit the impact as much as possible, but there is an impact.
Okay. Well, that's actually pretty good to get it back up. I mean, pulled that floor. Get down and pull back up within about 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a good team effort. A lot of our staff is there to help participate with putting the flooring down and taking it up, as well as some community partners. The baseball team comes out. The soccer team comes out. We try to get as many hands on deck just to help with that process.
Yeah. So what is that? Just like the biggest place to have something like that, huh?
It is. I think it's the biggest facility that can hold that many people in one place.
Yeah, how many people do you have in there?
For that facility, I want to say our occupancy is just over 1,000.
Wow.
So it's definitely an active place. So we make sure we follow all the regulations that the fire department set for us, and we follow their guidelines. But yeah, it's definitely nice to have it in one big setting. I think the Mark used to have it at their facility before it was the Mark, and we it it was a great venue there, but just a little more broken up for them.
All right. Well, I guess the good news is that they get charged, and that money helps offset people who do use the facility.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing as I was coming in, and it definitely is an impact on our patrons, but hopefully they recognize from the money that we receive from this event, it helps keep costs down, and it helps us provide some pretty cool amenities for them to use.
Okay. Let's see. You've got the Silver Ski Nordic Extravaganza coming up, and this is, early next month.
Yep, early next month. So February 11th from 10 to 12. This year we're holding it at the White Pine Nordic Center. Last year we held it at Willow Creek Park. It's just kind of a celebration of all things Nordic, I guess, letting people come out and enjoy or try out the facilities if they haven't. We'll have a limited number of free demos that people can use to come out and skate ski and classic skate or classic ski around their venue there. And just kind of showcase, I mean, there we'll be at White Pine, but I mean, Willow Creek Park and Matt Canute Park, it's free skating or free skiing there. So in around Valley, there's lots of places around town. So we partner with Park City Municipal, we partner with White Pine, we partner with Mountain Trails, just to kind of showcase everything that we do. Our staff puts a lot of time in providing these things for the community, and we just want to make sure people can get out and use them.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that you guys used to do like this mass ski, though, from White Pine down to the Basin Fieldhouse. Not anymore?
We used to do that, and then we had a couple years where the snow really didn't cooperate. They could get to a certain point, then they'd have to walk their skis for a while. So last year was the first year after probably a 2 or 3 year hiatus that we just did it at Willow Creek, and it kind of, we were able to keep people in one place, and we had some vendors out there where they could talk to them and help them out in one place, and we're kind of sticking with that, but we're going to change venues so people can see different areas of what they can use.
Great. Well, it sounds like this year you probably could ski all the way if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely today, or this year, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. At the board meeting, scheduled to discuss the 2017 organizational goals. Can you outline those for us?
Yeah. One thing that I put together just for the whole organization, for me, the community outreach is very important. I mean, collaborating with our partners with common interests, and even if they don't have common interests, just collaborating with our partners, Park City Municipal, Summit County, the UOP, the NAC, Mountain Trails, Summit Land Conservancy. I mean, making sure that we're all teaming up together to serve the community and making sure that we're trying to keep a common goal and not really either duplicating services and trying to let the community get the most out of their money of what they provide to these entities. I mean, so me, that's important to focus on that. One of my goals is creating an organizational sustainability plan for Basin Rec. We don't really have one. The county has one. The city has one. So my plan is to collaborate with those two entities and whoever else wants to help me out and just help provide a plan going forward. If it's using more, I mean, the e-bike program's coming on. Is it more electric vehicles in our fleet? Those types of things, solar in our buildings. I mean, those are all things that I think are definitely a needed thing for our organization. And hopefully moving forward, we'll have a plan of attack for that.
Yeah. Do you have solar panels on the field house?
We will. With this last expansion, we do have a big solar field that will be on top of that building. So that'll be our first real test into that world. So, just with the amount of sun that we get here, it just makes sense to have more on our trailheads and in our other facilities as well. So hopefully we're able to get more of that on our facilities.
And how much are you participating in the e-bike program? I'm guessing the Basin Fieldhouse would be a good spot for a bike station.
Yeah, we definitely will be have a station there working with the county and the city. I don't think they've specifically set the spots, but we've been part of their development of that program. And then we have some people on the recreation master plan that's going to be developed, and I think that's all going to come together, but through our trail system, and hopefully we'll be able to have some of those charging stations in some of our parks. Willow Creek might be a great one with that connection to the trails getting into town. So yeah, there definitely is a big influence on us as far as how we can participate with that program.
Okay, and finally, wanted to mention that you're looking for sponsors for the Little League program.
Yeah, what we haven't done it in the past, but one thing that we just joined the Little League organization. We always had baseball and softball, but we joined with the Little League. We're affiliated with the Little League name, so kids could potentially go on to the Little League World Series. But what I find is it would be nice to have community members be like you would have. mountaintop physical therapy, play against local lizards. So you have that community tie in a little bit more. So those entities can maybe be a little bit more involved in what the kids do as far as sports. Not that they're not now, but it would be nice to have a little bit more, have those different restaurants or different office buildings or be part of that program so they can, if they want that tie into the community, what better way to do it than with the kids.
And so that sponsorship money goes really then to the team to help them with uniforms and field?
It'll go to the organization, but what we'll do is they'll have the, like, Bad News Bears was Chico Bail Bonds. So you'd have their name on the back of the jersey. If the patrons wanted to do something more, they could, or the people that are sponsoring. We'll have some banners up at the field so the businesses get recognition as well. So the parents that are sitting there watching their kids say, oh, let's go to Maxwell's for dinner tonight. I mean, they're playing the Maxwell's team. So kind of that hope where they utilize some more of the community benefits that are out there.
Okay. Who do they need to contact if they're interested?
Brian Cadzel at Brian K at BasinRecreation.org, and he would definitely be able to set up everybody and send them in the right direction.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
That should be it.
We'll see you next month.
All
thanks,
right,
Brian.
Thank you.
It's Brian Hatton, the director of the Snyderville Basin Special Recreation District. This is KPCW Radio.